for giving me this opportunity. And also thank the Field Institute for great atmosphere and a lot of cookies and coffee. Without that, I can't do the main challenge with Chris. Yes, this is good work with Chris Phillips, and I talk about the Laughlin property of AF algebra. Okay. I'm interested in the classification of automorphism or group actions, and the problem is classify automorphism or group actions on some classified fit algebra, something like AF algebra or Kirchberg algebra, up to outer conjugacy or cocycle conjugacy. And you have already seen the definition of outer conjugacy or cocycle conjugacy in the talk of Masaki Izumi, and also some results on this line on Kirchberg algebra. And there are a lot of works on this problem, and in many works, there's a key technical tool which is called Laughlin property. And using Laughlin property, the strategy for solving the problem can be divided into two steps. Namely, first show your automorphism, your given automorphism satisfies the Laughlin property. This step sometimes called the Laughlin type theorem. And then classify automorphism satisfying the Laughlin property up to cocycle conjugacy or outer conjugacy by K-theoretical invariant or Heliot invariant. And I only consider the automorphism of AF algebra, and for automorphism or action by integral group Z, the two notions of outer conjugacy and cocycle conjugacy coincide. And for automorphism of AF algebra, the first step little is known. Kishimoto proved the Laughlin type theorem for approximately inner automorphism on simple AF algebra with unique trace using the result of Alan Cohn on 2-1 factors, but we don't know in the other case. However, this second step was already completed by Evans and Kishimoto, which I will talk about. Let A be an AF algebra, then this is classified by dimension group K0A by George. And each automorphism alpha induces an automorphism of K0A as a scaled order group, which I denote alpha star. Then Evans and Kishimoto proved in 1997 that if alpha and beta are two automorphisms satisfying the Laughlin property, and if this induces the same automorphism on K0 group, then these are outer conjugates. Namely, there is a unitary in the unitization of A, and there exists an automorphism gamma such that alpha can be written as the inner perturbation of the conjugate action of beta. I can talk about this theorem more precisely later. And yes, this is a great theorem, and this is a uniqueness theorem of the automorphism, but one can ask the existence a problem of the theorem, namely, which automorphism of K0 can be obtained from the automorphism of A with a Laughlin property. And since Evans and Kishimoto's work, no one considered such problem until Chris and I solved it in the last month in the Field Institute, and that is the main theorem of this talk.
Can I just make a comment? Because we're talking about Bradley Langer, so once the Bradley Langer is made into a category, then automorphism makes sense. And then you might as well talk about automorphism from that.
Okay. Maybe. Okay, before going to state the main theorem, I defined the Lahori property and show some properties of that. First, start the unitary case. Let A be a unitary fixed algebra. Then the automorphism alpha on A is said to have the Lahori property, which I abbreviate RP sometimes. If for any positive integer n, any finite set f, and any positive number epsilon, one can find a mutually orthogonal projection EK, where K goes 0 to the n minus 1, and FL, L goes 0 to the n, which are mutually orthogonal projections in A, which is a partition of unity, commute with finite element f up to epsilon, and alpha sends E0 to E1, E1 to E2, up to epsilon, and same for F. The projection satisfied these three is sometimes called Lahori power. So the Lahori power looks like that. These 2n plus 1 projections give a partition of unity, and alpha sends E0 to E1, E1 to E2, up to E to the n minus 1, and same for F, and we do not assume anything on where the top goes. But because this is a partition of unity, the sum of the top goes to the sum of the bottom, but we do not assume anything on other than that. And one may ask why two towers, why the height is n and n plus 1. And I have some comment on the definition. First of all, you can assume that the top going to the bottom of the same power up to epsilon, and this is sometimes called the cyclic Lahori property. And in general, it is strictly stronger than the Lahori property which I defined. And one can also define the Lahori property by just one tower. Then, because this is a partition of unity, if there's one tower, then the top should go to the bottom. So, actually, single tower version is stronger than the cyclic version of the Lahori property. And again, it's strictly stronger than the Lahori property. And finally, you can define a Lahori property using the several towers of several heights. Namely, for any n, one can find the k tower whose height is greater than or equal to n, such that for any f, any epsilon, there is a projection, dot, dot, dot. Then, you can easily see that the Lahori property implies this, because that's taking n and n plus 1 over here. But conversely, you can show that this property implies the Lahori property, because if you have n, apply this version for n times n minus 1, and observe that any integer greater than or equal to the n times n minus 1 can be written as a positive combination of n and n plus 1 to show the Lahori property. And the number n times n minus 1 is what appeared in the Michael's talk on the work on Kunstenius with Pereira, and I think it's basically the same reason. Okay, that is a Lahori property. And examples. Let X be a Cantor space, or more generally compact second Cantor totally disconnected space. Then the automorphism of C of X is corresponds bijectively to a homeomorphism sigma on X. In this setting, alpha has the Lahori property if and only if sigma is free. There's no fixed, no periodic point. The implication of this is easy, because if sigma is not free, there is a periodic point, say period P, then you cannot construct the Lahori tower greater than P. And the to prove the canvas, you only need to construct a Clopen set, find the Clopen set U, which is small enough that it doesn't intersect the image of under sigma up to n, but it's big enough that you can cover the whole X by iterating in some point. Then you can divide this Clopen set by first return time, and you get the several time version of Loholy property, which is suffice. Okay, that is an example. And the next example is a product type automorphism on UHF algebra. So let A be a UHF algebra, and alpha be the infinitesimal product of the inner automorphism given by the fifth unitary. So this shifts the matrix in one by one. Then it's very easy to see that this alpha has the Loholy property if and only if this number nk is not bounded. Again, this implication is easy because otherwise alpha is periodic. And the inverse implication is also easy because you can see the Loholy power inside the matrix algebra. Another example is A is an infinitesimal product of the same matrix, say MN of C, and let alpha be the tensor shift. Then this automorphism satisfies the Loholy property. This was proved by Duarte, Shimoto, Rodan, and Stammer for the case N is even. And after that, Kishimoto proves the general case, and he actually shows the more general setting. And it's very non-trivial fact, and it's very hard to show. But using Evans and Kishimoto's results, you can see that this tensor shift automorphism is alpha conjugate to the sum product, sum or all product type of automorphism satisfying the Loholy property. By the way, I'm happy to mention the name of Ura, Rappi, and Ashtaka Kishimoto. For another example, if A has a unique character, then A cannot have an automorphism with Loholy property in trivial reason. So for example, if you start with an unitization of non-unital simple fixed algebra, then this fixed algebra has no automorphism with Loholy property. Okay. So what is the Loholy property for general fixed algebra, not necessarily unital? And as far as I know, the definition for general Loholy property, not necessarily unital, can be found in the paper of Evans and Kishimoto, but that involves the two unitaries E and small e and big E and unitary and blah blah, and it doesn't look like the straightforward generalization of unitary case. And Chris and I introduced the following definition, which is turned out to be equivalent in the case that the algebra is AF. So let A be any fixed algebra, and let MA be the multiplier algebra of A, which is same as A when A has a unit. Then the automorphism alpha is said to have the Loholy property if for any positive number n, finite set S, positive number epsilon, one can find the Loholy power inside the multiplier algebra, which is a function of unity commuting with finite sets up to epsilon, and if an alpha tends E0 to E1, E1 to E2, almost in the strict proportion. So the difference between unitary case and this general case is, first of all, the Loholy power is in the multiplier algebra, and secondly, this third property, we need alpha of x. And when A has a unit, then multiplier algebra coincides with A, and by adding the one to the final step, you can just delete it to get the same definition. And because alpha is automorphism, you can delete alpha the same x, but I also want to treat the endomorphism case, especially corner endomorphism case. In that case, we need this alpha, and the Lohonin property for unitary corner endomorphism is defined by Mikhail. I may talk about it later.
This is equivalent to the
Lohonin property introduced by Mikhail Rodan for unitary corner endomorphism in the it looks the same.
So,
yes.
You cannot remove alpha.
In automorphism game, you can easily by just taking alpha inverse. It's good enough for automorphism, but for endomorphism, we need alpha.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand alpha.
So,
for
yeah.
X instead of alpha, that definition is the same.
Yes,
but endomorphism, it's not the same in general.
Thank you.
You want an alpha then.
Yes, thank you. But I only treat the automorphism in my talk, so you can ignore alpha. Okay. Now the permanence property of the Lohonin property of automorphism. The Lohonin property is preserved under the conjugation trivial. Inner perturbation is easy to see. Non-zero power is also easy. Tensor product for any automorphism of any C size of the B is also easy. And restriction of alpha to an alpha invariant ideal I for the induced automorphism on the quotient of alpha invariant ideal I is also easy. And finally, the restriction of alpha to a symmetric subalgebra B when B has an approximate unit of projection. And I don't know what happens in general because I cannot control the multiplier algebra of B and inside the multiplier algebra of A. because it's closed under the tensor product, you can find automorphism of Lohonin property in the fifth algebra with no projection, no trivial projection, by just taking B to be, say, C0 R. Okay, and the reason why we get this result in the case that B has an approximate unit of projection is in that case, we can reformulate the Lohonin property without using multiplier algebra. So let A be a fifth algebra with approximate unit of projection. Then the automorphism has a Lohonin property if and only if for any n, f epsilon as above, one can find the projection inside A, not in multiplier algebra, such that the sum is not 1. We cannot it in general, but this is close to the 1 in the strict topology. And the second and third conditions are same. So, same comment can be applied. So the difference is one can find projection inside A, but you assume that the sum is close to the 1 in the strict topology. And this is the version I use. Note that the AF algebra satisfies the assumption. Okay, so let's define the set R of N F epsilon, where N F epsilon is same as above. And we define the R of N F epsilon to be the set of automorphisms such that there is a Lohonin tower satisfying three conditions in lemma. Then lemma just says that alpha satisfies the Lohonin property if and only if alpha is in this set for any n, f, and epsilon. Okay, what is good for this set? Let's assume A is an sheaf algebra with an approximate unit of projection. And if A is separable, then choose an increasing sequence of finite sets whose union is 10. Then the set of the automorphism with the Lorentz property can be written as a Cantor intersection of such. It's very easy. And it's also easy to see that this set is open in the automorphism group where we use a topology of pointwise norm convergence approach. It's also easy. So in separable case, the set of automorphism with Lorentz property is the intersection of countable open sets, and we can use the Bell category theorem, and I will use. To use it, I want to note that if A is separable, then the automorphism has a complete metric defined in this form for some dense sequence in the unit ball of A. Okay, let's go back to the AF algebra. Let A be an AF algebra, and K0 of A is a scaled ordered group where I denote K0 of A sub plus positive cone of K0 of A, and I denote alpha star, the induced automorphism on K0 of A by the automorphism alpha of A. It's easy to see that for each automorphism sigma on K0 of A, the set of automorphism of A induces sigma is non-empty and closed in automorphism. So it's non-empty because it's projection, it's shown by George. And it is closed because it's continuous if you define a topology on automorphism of K0A appropriately. As a consistence, we can show that this set is has a complete metric so that I can use the Bell category theorem. Okay. Now, Evans and Kishimoto theorem. I state it again in a more precise way. So alpha and beta are automorphism of AF algebra with a Lorentz property, and suppose alpha and beta induce the same automorphism on K0. Then for any epsilon, one can find the unitary which is close to the 1 up to epsilon, and one can find an automorphism gamma which is approximately inner such that alpha can be written as this form. Now the question I want to solve is the existing theorem of compared with this theorem. And to state the main theorem, I need one more notation. Let's say automorphism sigma on K0 satisfies the property R if for any positive number n, and for any finite set I and j, and for any collection of positive elements xi, and any two map m and m prime from I times j into the positive or non-negative integers, such that there is some positive combination or relation between the image of xi and xi itself for each j. And the sigma factorial property R, if for this set one can find the yk from 0 to the n, satisfying first of all this divides xi into n plus 1 pieces, and secondly the first n y has the same its same with respect to this relation, and the last one is smaller than the y n minus 1 with respect to this relation. Okay, this is property R. And the main theorem of Chris and I says for an AF algebra, the automorphic sigma on K0 is induced by the automorphism with Lorentz properties if and only if sigma satisfies that complicated condition. And moreover, for such sigma, satisfying property or the set of automorphism with a Lorentz property inducing sigma is a dense G zeta set inside that set. Okay, that is the main theorem, and I will talk about the proof later. And one may ask that, well, it's okay, but it may be difficult to show the given sigma factorial property R. But yeah, I say yes in general, but in some cases one can show that sigma factorial property R. That is the main corollary. For an F algebra A, the following conditions are equivalent. Every automorphism on K0 is induced by some automorphism with Lorentz property. The second condition is every sigma satisfied property R. Third, the third is other than approximately now. there is an approximate in automorphism with Lorentz property, and fourth, the identity satisfies property R is equivalent, and there is a K-theory condition. So any positive element X and any positive integer N, one can divide X into N. So the more precisely there is Y with this form. And by the same theorem, 1, 2 are equivalent, and 3 and 4 are equivalent. And it's easy to see 2 implies 4. And it's also easy to see that 4 implies 5 by just looking the definition property R. So the discarding implication is 5 implies 2. And this is just the problem of dimension group, and one can solve it. Okay. So without this corollary, but this final condition on K0 is turned out to be equivalent to many known notions. This five condition is equivalent to have this, so just taking n equal 2, so it's easy to see 5 implies 6, and it's also easy to see that 6 implies 8 approximately divisible. And it was Andrew Thomas and Wilhelm Winter showed that approximate divisibility implies chance to absorbing, and it's also easy to see that if A absorbs the chance, no corner has a non-zero finite dimensional quotient. And finally, you can go back from this condition to the K-theory condition using the theory of Goodyear and Handelman. So these nine conditions are equivalent for AF algebra A. As a corollary, we can show that any approximate digital or equivalent is the absorbing AF algebra. Every automorphism on K0 is induced by automorphism of the Lorentz property. And I like to mention that a simple non-type 1 AF algebra is approximately divisible, so you can apply this corollary. And now I'd like to ask to extend this result to more general approximately divisible or the absorbing algebra other than AF algebra. And it's easy to construct a Lorentz property, approximately inner Lorentz property for any approximately divisible Swiss algebra, but we don't know how to construct any other automorphism on K0 or on A of the invariant. But let me mention that for this, the absorbing AF algebra, there is an open problem. So let A be this absorbing AF algebra, and alpha be an automorphism. And let gamma be an automorphism on G, which is a tensor shift of the infinite tensor product of chance algebra, which is isomorphic to G. Then does the tensor product alpha tensor gamma, which is an automorphism of A, have Lorentz property? It's open. And if yes, this gives another proof of the corollary I stated. And Chris recently showed that this actually satisfies a special version of the Hoyle property which Hoisin defined, and it's weaker than the Hoyle property. But it is open that these two notions are equivalent or not. So if the answer is yes for this problem, then answer is yes for that problem. Okay, let's talk about the proof of the main theorem. So this is the main theorem. So to prove it, I should do two things. First, take an automorphism alpha with Hoyle property and show that the induced automorphism satisfies the complicated property. And secondly, you should show this implies that, but actually we showed this. So if sigma satisfies the property R, we show that the set of the automorphism with the Hoyle property is dense free data set. And because this set has a complete metric, this means there is some automorphism which induces sigma and satisfying the Hoyle property. Recall that the automorphism sigma satisfies property R is for any n and for any collection and any finite collection of relations between the image of sigma and x, one can divide xi into n plus 1 pieces in the positive column of k0a such that the first n has the same size with respect to the relations and the last one is the small size with respect to the same the relation. So that is the property R. And also recall that the automorphism alpha has a Hoyle property if and only if alpha is in this set where n are positive integer, f is finite set, it is some positive number, and this RNF epsilon is a set of automorphism with the Hoyle power which satisfies three relations. Okay, the only part of the main theorem is following. So let's take an automorphism alpha with the Hoyle property, and then the induced automorphism sigma satisfies property R. Okay, the proof. First of all, we may assume A is stable by just cancelling the identity automorphism on compact operators, which is also satisfies the Hoyle property and induces the same automorphism. And okay, so let's take an n and collection xi and finite relations. Then first, choose the mutually orthogonal projection pi, which represents xi. We can do in the stable AF algebra, and also choose the partial isometries representing the relation between sigma xi and xi, which involves pi, of course, and apply the Hoyle property of alpha for this n and the finite set consisting of projections and partial isometry and some small epsilon, which is determined by the number of projections and partial isometry, to get the Hoyle power. And just define yk of I be the element defined by this, which is close to the projection, and yn of I is just defined by fn times pi, which is also close to the projection. And because these towers commute with partial isometry, you can take that these y satisfy the desired properties, and it's the end. So this part is very easy. And next, I want to prove the following. So let sigma be an automorphism of K0 satisfying the property R, and let n, f, epsilon is as before. Then R of n, f, epsilon is dense in the set of automorphism which induces sigma. And from this proposition and Bayes category theory, you can get the if part of the main theorem and also the latter statement of the main theorem. So I only need to show this proposition to complete the proof of the main theorem. And this proposition falls from the following lemma. Let sigma be an automorphism with property R, and take an alpha which induces a sigma, there is such an automorphism. And let's take N, F, epsilon, and also a finite dimensional subalgebra B in A, then one can find the unitary which is commute with B, such that the inner perturbation of alpha is in this set. And note that this induces the same automorphism as alpha, so this is sigma, and so this implies the proportion, and hence the proof of the main theorem complete. Okay, let's prove that this lemma. So first, choose a finite dimensional algebra D, which almost contains F, and which contains alpha to the k of B up to from 0 to the n, and also find a finite dimensional algebra B, which contains D and alpha D. And in general, you cannot do this for general alpha, but perturbing alpha a little bit by small unitary, you can find such D and E. And this small perturbation depends on epsilon. So let's assume we can do D and E. And let Xi be the derivative of K of E. So this is the element defined by minimal projections of E. And because E has D and alpha D as a subalgebra, this two inclusion induce gives a multiplicity map M and M prime, and this gives a several relation between sigma of Xi and Xi. So we have N and collection of positive elements and some relations. So we can use the property R to get a YK which divides Xi and satisfying the relation which comes from these relations. Okay? Now let's take projection PK of I, which represents the element YK of I in K0. And from these projections, construct a projection PK which commutes with the biggest finite dimensional algebra E, and the sum is the identity of the E. You can do this. And use the relation of YK of I to show that the projection PK 1D and the projection DS, which is both of them are in the relative commutant of D, this gives the same element in K0 of the relative commutant. That is the most technical part. And then, because this relative commutant is AF, this means that there is a partial isometry between this and that. And collecting this partial isometry, you can find the unitary which commutes with D and satisfying this condition. And finally, construct a Loughlin tower from these projections. And for this automorphism, then this automorphism in this set. And that is the end of the proof of the lemma. And the most and only technical point of the proof is to show that these two projections give the same element inside the K0 of the relative commutant. And we note that in general, the inclusion map from here into A induces a K0 of a group homomorphism between K0 groups, but it's not injective in general. So it's not suffice to show that this and that are same element in K0 of A. We need to show these are in K0 of the relative commutant, and this can be done because this finite dimensional algebra, we know what is this in detail. Okay, so I talk about some problems. So then I have this result to ATR or ASH or especially AF, but I don't know how to do that. As I said, I use finite dimensional subalgebra in an essential way, and so I don't know how to get rid of it. Another problem is, yes, we know there are a lot of automorphisms with a Lorentz property, but it doesn't, well, but it's still difficult to show that a given automorphism satisfies Lorentz property or not, so we need some criteria for automorphism to have Lorentz property, which seems to be difficult. And another problem is, so let sigma be the automorphism of K0, which satisfies the property R, then there are a lot of automorphism with Lorentz property inducing the sigma, but the cross product is isomorphic to each other, so the problem is this. In several cases, we can show that these are, say, simple AP Dirac 0, or in the case that A is non-unital and the sigma scales the unique trace, then this becomes a simple, pure infinite, namely Kirchberg algebra. But in general, I don't know the answer. And it may be related to the work by Nate. Nate proved that when the cross product of AF algebra by one automorphism is AF embedded or not, but he used the Lorentz automorphism of universal UHF algebra, so the embedding AF algebra is very big. But using this criteria, one can control the K0 of the image, so that this induces maybe isomorphism between K0 of cross product and K0 of AF. And maybe another problem is, which may or may not get to our work, is gift the automorphism of sigma of K0A to the automorphism of A with the same order, which is still open. And finally, generalize the main result to corner endomorphism, which generalizes the one theorem of Mikhail Lodan. Work in progress, so I don't know how to do it, and I don't know if it's important or not. Okay, I stop here. Thank you.
I was wondering if there's a compute. I know that V obviously doesn't have enough projection, but or said, is there a way to talk to Roy Lucy? Is there a compute? Have you thought about an analog of the Watson property for automorphisms or algorithms like that?
Many people are interested in such problem, but I don't know how to do it. Chris has some property.
We have an analog of the tracial Ruffin property. And that's what was used in the thing with the site. So the infinite tensor shift has a projectionless analog of the tracial Ruffin property. If the algebra is simple and has tracial rank 0, then this projectionless analog implies the tracial Ruffin property, say, with projections. We have no examples to show that either for the integers, the tracial Ruffin property either does or does not imply the Ruffin property.
I think, but it's not the formula, it's referring to our axis by using three by eigenvector in the center of the problem. So one might be able to use that for the objective. The objective is needed. You don't have to.
For our actions, or do you think you're just...
Oh, forget that. Well, I don't think it's very
popular.
Yeah. Would you be willing to speculate on what property R would look like for A, B algebra, so you involve A1, or is...
I have no idea.
It shouldn't have anything to do with K1.
It seems to me that this, if we just, for example, now the powers supplied for the original UHF setting, because you, for instance, you look at the, the group directs on the top of the Q, then you maybe take the order relation, we need to sum the coordinates and say that should be 50 positive. That's the non-zero part of the positive point. And then the two sides shift, and you have some polymorphism. The picture algebra would be, because it absorbs the universal UHF algebra, so it would absorb some automorphism of the UHF, of the stabilized, of the AF algebra, of the non-across-the-structure, of the K0. So we have some automorphism of that non-unit, the stable, the AF algebra, and it gives you the two-sided shift. And then you take the cross product. So the cross product is possible, but I thought that was one of the big holdups, to get to the...
So this is the problem. Well, the other thing is that we don't... This is the case that A is simple and unital. That's right.
So you know what the answer to that question is, if A is simple and unital?
If A is simple and unital, then this is... A local property implies trace a local property, and so we can use the theorem of...
But it still needs periodic points in K0. And the example you just described, there are no periodic points in K0. So that's the thing which is missing. We don't have a completely general, don't have a sufficiently general statement that says the cross product of any algebra by something, even with the Rolkin property, has trivial at zero. But that's sort of the one thing that's missing here.
I would like a suggestion for a better name for property R.
To call it the Rolkin property of automorphisms of ordered groups. I don't know if that's good or not. But comments on that or any other suggestions would be welcome.
That really is the last comment.